This is Faith Footnotes with Northwestern Publishing House, Episode 1, The Value of Christian Resources. Welcome to Faith Footnotes, Christian Conversations with Northwestern Publishing House. You can find us online at nph.net. My name is Joshua Vick.
And I am Tanya Gerbing.
And we are your hosts for Faith Footnotes.
Like our name suggests, this is a Christian podcast that is all about practical resources for connecting with Christ and Christian living.
Typically, we will feature engaging conversations with Christian authors, explore helpful answers to common questions about the Christian life, dig deep into faith-related topics, and more.
And today is our very first episode.
Welcome to the show, everyone. This is exciting, Tanya. You know, when I tell people that I'm going to be doing a podcast, the usual response is something like, why would you ever want to do a podcast?
Well, Josh, it comes down to wanting to discuss life's challenges from a Christian perspective and stay connected to Christ. It is so important to keep the comfort and promises Christ offers in the forefront for whatever challenge you may be facing.
Life does get pretty messy sometimes, and everyone's circumstances and perspectives are unique. To add to our conversation, we will be bringing Christian authors on our podcast to help discuss these topics and share helpful Christian resources. Which leads us to today's theme and our very first question on our very first episode. What role do Christian resources play in your life?
Joining us today is Pastor Luke Wary. Pastor Wary serves at Peace Lutheran Church in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. He is also the chairman of the NPH Board of Directors.
Welcome, Pastor Wary, to the show.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure having you with us here today, Pastor.
Thanks.
Can you tell us a little bit about your journey as a pastor and as a Christian?
Well, humorously, at the age of 6, I wrote my first sermon, and my mother saved it. It had to do with the story of Adam and Eve and their fall into sin. I was so certain at that point I wanted to be a preacher, but the ironic thing is the closer that I got to graduating from the seminary, the less sure I was that I was cut out for this role. And now having been in the ministry since 1992, still just about every day, I think maybe I'm not cut out for this role. But thankfully, we don't go according to our feelings. We go according to the Word of God, and the doctrine of the call reminds me Christ wants me to do this. And one thing I found when I read, I love reading. I love words and letters. And I get to study the most important document on the face of this earth. And I get to learn the most amazing stuff that a person could possibly learn. And I don't know if everybody feels this way, but when I'm learning new things in Scripture, I get this fire in my belly, and I think, I just have to share that with somebody. So that's kind of what drives me and motivates me every day.
Once again, our topic today is what role do Christian resources play in your life? And before we go any further, we should probably clarify what we mean by Christian resources.
Christian resources, that's a pretty broad topic. We could talk about electronic resources. We could talk about paper that comes from trees. There are all kinds of resources out there. Books, audiobooks, social media, magazines. So NPH, as a publishing company, tries to provide a broad variety of those products for our readers and our consumers.
Yeah, it really is a broad topic. If you just think books, for example, there are devotionals, prayer books, books on Christian living, books on what the Bible teaches. There's so much out there, it can feel overwhelming to the point you wonder, where do I even start?
So, Pastor, wouldn't someone be better served just by reading the Bible?
That's a great question, and it would be easy for a pastor to say, yes, just read the Bible. But there's other things that we want to consider. there might be backgrounds to a Bible story that it would be very helpful to know. For example, the wedding at Cana. How can I possibly know that a Jewish wedding would be typically about a week long, which made it a pretty big deal if they ran out of wine? But I couldn't know that from my culture unless I learned it from some other resource. So resources can be helpful for background. They can be helpful for an explanation of the words themselves. There may be ways of saying things from one culture that don't translate well to another culture. It helps to read a commentary and say, oh, that's what they meant by that word or phrase. Applications. I find that when I read a commentary or even, say, an article in the Forward in Christ magazine, somebody draws an application to my life that maybe I'd never thought of. So it's very helpful to get resources outside of my own self, outside of my own brain, to help me understand the scriptures. The key thing to remember is that our Lord has not given us a static word. It's a living word. And so these aren't just dead words on a page. I could similarly say, you know, why does God insist that I have to preach a sermon to my congregation on Sunday? Wouldn't it be better if I would just stand there and read the scriptures to them and nothing else, just that? And I suppose that would be sufficient because God's word is perfect and God's word is sufficient. But God doesn't settle for that. He's given us a living word and he wants us to communicate that word that the Holy Spirit has convinced us of. And that living word is then communicated to other living souls for the strengthening of their faith. So God's word is from faith to faith. And that's why resources are very helpful.
So just kind of balancing this, there's a lot of resources. Most people don't have a lot of time in the day. What role should these resources play in someone's life?
Well, yeah, I suppose if you're going to weigh it that like that, of course, scripture needs to come first. If I'm going to prioritize what I should expose myself to on a daily basis, I will start with scripture. My observation is that sometimes people start with too much, though. And in order to help them not to feel guilty, I say, well, take smaller bites. Don't think that you have to read 5 chapters of the Bible in one sitting. Well, how about just a little section? How about a few verses that you can digest? And then if you want to couple that with a devotional book, perhaps when you sit down with your wife at lunch or something like that, that can supplement what you read from God's Word during the day. One resource that I love is the Meditations booklet. As a pastor, I recommend these. I always tell my congregation, if you have time to eat a banana for breakfast, you have time to read your meditations today. So it is not overwhelming to be able to use these resources in addition to my reading of scripture.
So for a moment, take off your pastor hat and let's make it a little bit more personal. In your personal life, what kind of resources are you reading? You mentioned Meditations, which is a daily devotional, but what else are you reading?
You know, it's hard for me to take off my pastor's hat in that regard because, yeah, where does one start and the other begin? I guess I really will have to speak from a pastoral point of view to start with.
Okay.
Particularly the first, 8 to 10 years of my ministry, I would spend about 2 hours of the day at the beginning of the day in reading and prayer. That really established the pattern for the rest of my ministry. I've been a pastor for about 32 years now. So I usually start out with several prayers. I read a passage in the Greek from my Greek New Testament. I read a number of chapters from the Bible every single day, and then I read a little bit from the Confessions, and then I read 10 pages of Luther. I have the entire set of Luther's works. So I always read 10 pages of Luther every day, and then after that, if there is some other current book that perhaps NPH or someone else has put out. I'll read 10 pages of that. All of that put together, I can get done within an hour or an hour and 20, something like that. So that's my normal practice. I mean, when my children were little, of course, we read to them children's devotional books and things like that.
Is there any one book or resource throughout your life that's really made a difference or that's really impacted your faith?
I will mention one. There have been many, but one that stands out is called Theology of the Cross by Daniel Deutschlander. I was not only a student of Pastor Deutschlander, but I was also a close friend. Close enough that I can tell you that his book, Theology of the Cross, is his magnum opus. If you want, I mean, he wrote many, many things, and he wrote longer books than Theology of the Cross. But if you really wanted to know who he was and what made him tick and his whole modus operandi, that book will tell you exactly who Pastor Deutschlander was and summarizes everything that he taught. He had a profound, profound influence on a whole generation of pastors in our church body, and even broader than our church body. And so I consider that book kind of pivotal. I think it's to some degree pivotal even for a generation in our synod where people finally understood, oh, so that's how suffering fits in with the salvation plan. It's not some theology of glory. It's not a you know, everything will be successful and wonderful type of theology. It's the theology of suffering, the theology of the cross. So that was the book, I think, that made the biggest difference to me.
Pastor, you minister to a lot of different people. I don't belong to your church, but I would think that you have had situations where you work with people who are hurting, people who are close to death, single people, teens, couples, and there are probably other people that you counsel. What resources do you find yourself referring to people more frequently?
Yeah, I'd like to answer that question in two parts, if I may. A little bit of a dissertation, if you will. First, I'd like to say this about the products that NPH is putting forth. What's emerging out of NPH are books and materials and resources that are what I call accessible to the common person. Let me explain what I mean by that. There was a time when NPH, and this is decades ago, but when NPH would put out a new product, a new book, let's say, very often it would be some conference paper that a pastor had delivered to a pastor's conference. So it's high level, it's very doctrinal, kind of dry. And then we'd say, hey, let's make a book out of that and publish it. And then we would be befuddled that your average layperson wasn't completely excited to pick that up and read that. And so admittedly, I think that was maybe a shortcoming of ours for a long time. But we knew that with pastors, we would have reliable products and they would be meaty. However, I think NPH is finding that wonderful middle ground where we're coming out with books that the average layperson can pick up and read. It is relevant to our lives. In fact, it's the very stuff that we're asking about, and written on a level that someone can enjoy. I just want to give a shout out to a few that recently NPH has come out with. The whole Bible Discovery series. Oh man, is that gold. The Bible Discovery series. I hope that you do a podcast just on that. That would be worth your while. The book, God Loves Nobodies, or the book, I Know That I Know, or Deep as the Sea, or Who Am I? Written for teenagers. Man, is that important. My Identity for Teenagers. Whatever is True, there's a promotion right now for that book, and our congregation has the sign-up sheet and everything. I think we're already at well over 25 books that our congregation has signed up to purchase. But anxiety, people are wondering about anxiety and trauma and all these things. And so this is a wonderful trend, I think, that NPH has emerged in doing, and I can now recommend specific books to people. In the past, though, sometimes I'd recommend a book from NPH, and they'd say, well, Pastor, I tried the first few pages, and I just don't get it. But now we have books, I think, that are accessible. If I may continue the second half of my question. Sorry, I'm kind of long-winded here. I want to talk a little bit about the importance of books on prayer. So we know from Luther's Small Catechism, under the doxology of the Lord's Prayer, Luther says God has commanded us to pray and he has promised to hear us. Those two things, he's commanded us to pray and he's promised to hear us, tell you that you're absolutely doing what God wants you to do when you pray. You're absolutely doing a good thing when you pray. Somewhere along the line, and I think it largely comes from our American culture and a non-Lutheran culture, somewhere along the line, some voices have given the impression that that it's better to speak a prayer off the cuff than to use written prayers, that somehow written prayers are lesser and not as spiritual. I will get on my soapbox and say that is absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. I love written prayers. Let me give you a couple of reasons. One reason I love written prayers is that they help me remember things to pray for that I wouldn't have thought of. Another reason I love written prayers is that the prayers, whoever wrote them and put them on paper, they've thought through how to ask for these things or how to pray about these things in a way that I never could have worded it. Maybe it's too spiritual for me, or maybe it's, you know, in the moment I'm not able to formulate those thoughts, but there they are on the page and I can pray those. Written prayers actually help me to be more disciplined about actually doing it, actually praying. A person could say, you know, well, I pray all the time. And they kind of mean this vague notion that every now and then they have a godly thought, but to sit down in a disciplined way and say, when I wake up this morning, I'm going to pray. And there it is, the written prayer helps me to do that. Not to mention, you know, the greatest prayer of all, the Lord's Prayer, is a written prayer. And yes, so are the Psalms, just to mention 150 other written prayers. So I think our God would approve of written prayers. And so that's why I love to encourage people. I find that for our lay people, they find written prayers to be way more accessible than if I just tell them, well, you should just pray what's on your heart. Just pray what's on your heart. I'm sorry, folks don't know how to do that. And it makes them feel odd and awkward. And even if they're by themselves, they feel kind of squishy. But if you have a written prayer that takes that awkwardness away, and it equips me and enables me to do it. Some examples of books that I have used that I really like, I use the Lutheran Book of Prayer very heavily. Now, I know that's not an NPH product, but I use that every single day, the Lutheran Book of Prayer. But we have some gems. Oh, man, we have some gems here from NPH. There's a recent book called There's a Prayer for That. There is not a single topic on this earth that's not prayed about in that book. There's another one called Prayers for People Under Pressure. And that's a creative prayer book. Very well done. And a third one I would recommend called A Year of Prayer. And if I remember correctly, it's a collection of all the prayers that have been written for our meditations devotions from an entire year. And that has some profound prayers in it, too. Our hymnal has a couple of, you know, few prayers on a page in it that are worth our while. But yeah, I want to recommend that. I just remember a lady that I knew who she and her husband were going through a very traumatic time because their teenage boy had just run off the rails. He was a troubled child. And these poor parents, I know what they were going through, and the sleepless nights, and the grieving, and the sorrow, and oh, how troubled their household was. And then in the entryway of the church one Sunday, she said to me, I went to the Christian bookstore. We actually had Christian bookstores back then. Nowadays, there's not too much brick and mortar out there anymore. But she said, I went to the Christian bookstore and I got a book on prayer. I said, oh, you did. And I was a little uneasy about that. I just wondered what in the world she'd picked up. And with her face completely crestfallen, she said, I found out I've been doing it all wrong. And she walked away. This poor woman had read this book about prayer and it had devastated her. She was doing it wrong. Well, therefore, God must not be listening. Therefore, God must not be answering her prayers. And that was just really terrible. I want people to be able to pray with confidence. God listens to our prayers. He commands us to pray. He's promised to hear us for Jesus' sake. And using written prayers is a way to have that confidence when you pray.
That's really interesting to hear about written prayers, because I think our society tends to push pray what's on your heart. And at least for me growing up, that was kind of always the thought, like, if I have a printed prayer, it may not get everything specific, or it's almost like cheating because it's not genuine enough. And I think hearing, you know, that structure and using those, and what you said about, you know, Jesus praying the Psalms and the Lord's Prayer, I think are really good reminders for us just that printed prayers can really be beneficial in our spiritual life.
I agree. I would add one more thing culturally. I don't know if it's just to our synod alone or to us as Americans, perhaps, but I sensed from my father's generation, he would have been pre-baby boomer, but right around that era of baby boomer. And there was this total aversion to anything that seemed too rote, too ritualistic. And we don't want it to become just a rabbit's foot ritual that's mindless and it's not true and authentic and real. So there was that. I remember hearing my own dad, who was a pastor. He was a Wells pastor. That written prayers were kind of lesser. And I've just in my own experience, I found that not to be true, not to be true at all. Written prayers have been a major help for me in my spiritual journey. And so that's why I'm a big proponent of that.
You mentioned in your story about the woman went to a bookstore, found a prayer book. And that kind of makes me wonder and think about 1 Thessalonians 5:21 that tells us to test everything and hold on to what is good. And if you go to a bookstore, there's maybe a million Christian resources, Christian books, Christian devotionals, Christian prayer books. How do you decipher between all the choices? How do you find something that's actually good? Because I, for one, I don't want to buy all these books. I have enough books at home, and I don't want to have a huge collection of books that I'm not going to read anyway. So how do you know?
Oh, man, what a great question. I always beg and plead the members of our congregation, please don't go to Amazon. and that's sadly what people do, or they just Google, you know, oh, I want to find out something about the Holy Spirit. So they'll Google Holy Spirit, right? And you ask your pastor for a recommendation, please. He'll be more than happy to give you a recommendation. Is there a Lutheran teacher that you trust, whether from a Lutheran high school or a Lutheran grade school? Ask them. They're experts in their fields, and they will help you. And they too are spiritual people and have experienced things in life, and they will help you with that. It's a struggle to get our people to look for reliable resources. One thing that we endeavor to do from NPH is make sure everything that we produce is scripturally faithful. In fact, from our synod's founding, that NPH is in our synod constitution. And one of our primary purposes for being a synod was to have reliable, scripturally reliable materials. And so directing our people to NPH, I believe, is a very important thing.
One more thing to keep in mind is that most churches have a library. I know from personal experience, this is a great place to find scripturally sound resources that can really help on whatever topic you're interested in learning about.
Well, this brings us to the end of our first episode. Thank you, Pastor Wary, for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Find the show notes and links to all the resources discussed on today's show at blog.nph.net. There, you can let us know in the comments section what Christian books or resources you're currently reading or those that have made a difference in your life. Be sure to follow our show on your preferred podcast platform. We will be posting a new episode each month, though our next episode might be a little sooner. Next time, we will take a look at how Christian families can keep God's Word in the home, especially when schedules get hectic and busy this fall.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Faith Footnotes from Northwestern Publishing House. Keep the conversation going by visiting nph.net.